I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
This week, I provide a recap on the various agency meetings from the past week, our thoughts on the snook, redfish, and trout closure extension, the spray protest, paying to call whitetails, and more. But first, we have to wade through reviews and pizza toppings, starting right now.
What's new, Travis?
The microphones, dude. The microphones are like...
Dude.
I'm trying to put on my Ryan Reynolds sexy voice. Does Ryan Reynolds have a sexy voice?
No.
Listen here, cats and kittens. This is Uncle Travis coming to you live.
Ew!
Yeah, please stop. Please stop.
Get out of here with that.
We're trying to fix the microphone levels, y'all. Just be patient with it, okay? Like, we're doing the best we can. We are not sound engineers. We're rednecks.
It's a point... It is a point of contention, though, on the group. People have mentioned it several different times.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, a big deal. So, I'm sorry if I'm blowing out your speakers right now. We're working on it, I promise.
Yeah. You never want to go soft. You never want to pull people down in volume. But I have to pull Nate down in volume and pull us up in volume every week. But I think I got it. I think I've fixed it now.
Good luck.
This all occurred when we moved Emily off the soundboard and me onto the soundboard.
Yep.
So maybe we need to fix that. Maybe that's the... If this doesn't work, we're going to fix that. How about that?
There you go.
Is that the plan? We are going to shift it up and go, what is new with you, Emily?
Well, cats and kittens.
Wow.
What?
Isn't that what you just said?
No, I said boys and girls.
Oh, you did?
I don't know what I said. I don't listen to what I say. I just say things and they come out. And then you guys say, I wish you hadn't said that.
Okay.
Bleep.
Cats and kittens. We have two new reviews this week. So exciting.
So exciting.
The first one is from Bob Agosta. He says, thanks for what you do. 5 stars. Thanks for not only an awesome podcast, but also everything you guys do on a daily basis for conservation. It's greatly appreciated. I normally listen on Spotify, but made sure to go out of my way to give you a review on here. Bob.
Way to go.
You are the real
thanks,
winner.
Bob.
Thank you so much.
He's the real hero here, right?
He's the real MVP. Yep.
For going and navigating the morass that is iTunes podcast reviews.
We have another
one. Why doesn't Spotify have reviews?
Why doesn't Spotify have reviews? And everyone that does an iTunes review should get like a special reward.
I agree.
They do. They get a shout out on the podcast.
They do get a shout out on the podcast. But geez, oh, Pete, it is such a like, you put it in there and then it doesn't appear for 3 days. And then we see the number change, but there's no words. So we have to keep going back to check to see if you wrote words. But sometimes they didn't write words. It's just a whole thing. It's just a whole thing, you guys. You got another one?
I do. The next review is from Jake 123456789080HDUQUQHSHSH.
Wait. That was their username?
That's Craig Harrell.
Oh.
Oh.
And the reason I know that is there's context clues in this review that are about to give that
all
away.
All right, let me read the review. It's called Irony, 5 stars. Imagine a world where a 50-year-old man and his 20-year-old son have never been duck hunting, and this man is of blood relation to an above-average duck hunting guide. Sad face emoji. However, this podcast is an intellectual discussion with sarcastic and comedic overtones about conservation, hunting, fishing, and general outdoors that has inspired me to be more active in the preservation of our outdoor culture for future generations. Thanks, Zero Ducks, Winter Haven, Florida.
That is Craig. Nice.
Well, hey, Craig.
Who is blood relation to me.
Sorry that you tried to go under the radar. But.
And has tried to get me to take him on a duck hunt for 2 seasons and his son, 20-year-old son. And as much as I advocate for this stuff, I'm kind of embarrassed that he just called me out like that. Like that was a.
This is amateur hour right here.
Wow.
That was a. What's the thing at the end of The Karate Kid when he like stands on the post and he does the swan maneuver and like kicks him, the crane? What are you guys? Has anyone seen? Neither one of you have seen Karate Kid.
No, I mean, I've seen it, I don't understand the context here. God. I don't understand what you're trying to get at right now.
Okay. I need some listeners to back me up on
this.
Do you
want to kick your family?
No. At the end of Karate Kid, he's like so injured. Daniel's son is so injured that he's going to lose to the Cobra Kai guy. His foot is so broken up that he has to like balance on one foot and then do this crane maneuver that he does on a post out in the... Anyway... That's what my cousin just did to me. That's what Craig just did to me right there.
Yeah.
In reviews,
yeah.
And you guys are not getting it. No, he did not sweep the leg. That's what happens to Daniel. Oh my gosh. Please.
You saying crane maneuver made me think about Will of the 2 Minute Will when we would play Mario Kart as a family. There was this one course on Mario Kart that had cows, and you had to like weave in between the cows with your cart, and he called it the cow maneuver.
But he didn't say it. He said it so fast it sounded like cow manure.
Yeah, it was the funniest thing ever.
The cow manure.
He's like, look at this. I call it the cow maneuver.
Nate,
anyway.
What is new with you? We've mixed it all up how we do the what's news.
We have on our Facebook group, like some 3-star Michelin chefs hanging out around there.
Cast and Blast Florida, the group. Cast
the
ampersand.
Group. The group. Make sure you put
ampersand.
Yeah. We messed that up. But
that was me. That was pointed at me.
We seriously have some like fine dining people, like food geniuses on our group.
Can we recap that this is the group that brought you fried honey buns? This is the group that brought you Stuffles. Now we got Nick Minkin out there doing witchcraft.
Yeah, with a crescent roll. Witchcraft with a crescent roll. Like with truffle butter and like, I don't know, all kind of crazy stuff he's got going on over there.
Did you see, first off, we made that this morning. I made that at the house this morning. And I got the, what kind of truffle was it? It was black truffle and garlic brie spread, which is what was recommended in the recipe. Whoa. I know, talk about bougie. That's the first time I ever said any of those words out loud. Em was not a fan. How did you describe it? You said it was like eating France.
I did. He had me taste a bite of it.
It's very French.
And it was as though I had an entire country. Is France a country?
Yes.
In my mouth.
It's a country.
It was a lot of flavor. It's too much. Way too much.
It was awesome.
Too much, too fast.
I did the sopressata, the capicola. I forget what all was in it, but there was a lot of meats in it.
It was disgusting.
I did make some with just ham and cheese for Will of the 2 Minute Will family.
Those are good.
He said that's homemade Hot Pockets and that's his jam. But I also had to leave the eggs out, which Nick recommends because Emily's allergic to eggs. Mm.
Tragic.
So we had to kind of shift it up a little bit. But I think I would go without the garlic in the brie. That was too much.
Gotcha.
It was a lot of breakfast garlic.
Yeah.
And did you see Schultze today?
Yes.
Or the other day? Space-time continuum.
He's like totally blowing up the whole recipe game.
He's bringing in like ceviche recipes and sous vide.
He did sous vide with his eggs.
Ceviche with pork rinds.
Yeah. How
like, if that's
baller.
Not keto, I don't know what keto is, because that was
know.
Like straight up.
Are you still doing keto, Nate?
Yes, I am. I haven't been doing great this week, but I'm still trying to plug along, kind of keep going, keep doing the best I can.
Well, so. I saw a picture of you and you look straight fire.
Yeah.
Like big Dope. Difference.
I want to go back for a second here.
Oh, sorry.
Before we talk about hot Nate. And I do appreciate that you have started recording with a shirt on. It's been helpful for
I've
me.
I've never been sadder.
It's not a distraction anymore. But I want to go back to, on top of that, he's sous vide-ing his eggs, Chris Schultz's. Schultze. He's doing sous vide with his eggs so that the yolk is like soft and spreadable, but not, oh my
Ew.
God. Like this
Can
is
you
next
never
level.
Say those words again.
You love eggs and you're just mad because you're allergic to them now.
I've never wanted to spread a like gelatinized egg yolk over
on a burger?
Fish cooked with juice from a fruit.
Oh, yes, you have.
Mm. I do. I don't. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
I'll try it. I'll try anything.
We also had a post. This is the post that infuriates every internet discussion, Facebook group eventually. And guess what? It was Ryan Briggs, former assistant producer of the show. He just found out he's been let go right here in this recording. But he brought up the pineapple as a pizza topping. Nate, where are you at on pineapple as a pizza topping?
I'm one of those people that I'm okay with it in certain situations. The only acceptable pizza topping with pineapple is ham. Like you can't have any other topping with pineapple. It just doesn't work. It's ham and pineapple or no pineapple at all.
Let's go back to our roots here for a second and do a game as the foot. And let's do a mini draft. I don't think we've ever done this. A mini draft of pizza toppings just to get this out there so we can have an official stance as a show. Nate, you get the first pick. What do you want?
I'm going pepperoni number one.
Solid.
This is number one pick. I mean, it just, it works no matter what kind of pizza you have. And it's just a, it's a crowd favorite. Everybody likes pepperoni pizza. I don't care who you are. It's bread, it's sauce, it's cheese, it's pepperonis.
Boom.
Classic.
Emily, where are you going here?
Cheese.
Like extra cheese?
You imbeciles. Of course, cheese is the topping that you have to draw first. Wow. It's not an assumed topping.
Okay. That's fair.
I think see, it is. I feel like assumed. It is an assumed topping because, yeah.
You don't make pizza. I think it is. The givens are what Nate just said. Dough, bread, dough, cheese, and sauce.
Those rules are not established.
All right, I'm going.
Well.
These are the rules according to the law.
I'm going.
Right.
I'm not sure where Nate's going to go because I feel like no matter what I pick, he's going to go the other way. I'm going to go Italian sausage right here.
God, no.
I think that's a solid pick. You got to have the Italian sausage. Meat lovers. You can't do meat lovers without Italian sausage on it.
Mm. Italian sausage. That's a great pick. That's a classic. Like pepperoni sausage pizza is one of my favorites. And that's usually where I go if I go Papa John's. But if I go anybody else like Pizza Hut or you know, Domino's, I'm going straight pepperoni just because it's classic.
All right,
but second, sausage is a great pick.
Second pick, what do you got?
I'm going to go mushrooms. I love mushrooms on pizza, like a pepperoni mushroom pizza. Really good. I love mushrooms on pizza.
Pepperoni mushroom is about as far as I'll go in the vegetable arena.
Solid.
Where are you at? Did he just snake you on that?
No, I'm going to draft pineapple. I love pineapple on a pizza.
She does love pineapple on a pizza.
I do. Sorry. Amateur especially heart. With.
See, I like mm-hmm. I like the sweet savory mix. Like, not everybody likes that. I like it. I'm okay with it. Like the whole pineapple, like, you know, last year, a couple years ago when it was like this whole big thing where everybody hated pineapple. I feel like it was just like a fad. Like it was cool to hate pineapple on pizza. I'm not in that camp. I'm okay with pineapple on pizza, but only with ham. Like I'm not just going to get cheese and pineapple. I'm getting cheese, I'm getting ham, and I'm getting pineapple.
What about bacon?
That's my pick. Next pick, bacon, right here.
But what
sniped
about
it. Got it, nailed it.
Cheese and pineapple and bacon are delicious together.
Pineapple is the gristle of the fruit world.
Oh my God. How
it's
dare
bad.
You?
It's no. Just a bad fruit.
It isn't. You first of all, you haven't even had all the fruits in the fruit world.
No, but I'm certain of it. I can speak with 100% certainty about how bad pineapple is. All right, Nate. I took bacon, which bears it needs no explanation. What's your last pick?
Right. Yeah, bacon's great. I'm gonna go jalapenos.
Ooh.
Spicy.
Like spicy pizza to me. Is like really good. I actually like to add Tabasco to my pizza when I'm eating it, mm-hmm. and like dip it in ranch. So I like spicy pizza. So jalapenos is a good way to go.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I will along the same vein. I'll say red pepper flakes.
Solid.
Because I love spicy pizza as well.
I don't have anything else to add.
You're done.
Yeah,
because you're not a topping person, really.
I'm really not. I'm in it for the pepperoni, the bacon. The Italian sausage and the cheese. And those are all gone.
Just let me throw a shout out to Alfredo Pizzas Everywhere. That is a special shout out.
Not Pizza by Alfredo?
No.
Before we get into the main segment, now that we're warmed up sufficiently, having discussed pizza topping, Emily's pretty pumped. So this is the only reason she comes is so she can discuss food of any sort. We do need to pay some bills. And do you know what that means?
Oh, I know what that means. Do you know what that means?
That means Fletcher Hallett Insurance, 904-315-5812. I've memorized the number now. I've done it so many times.
Whoop-de-whoop.
I'm going to tell you guys, like we say all the time, Fletcher's one of our guys. Last week, Emily talked about the fear of our shed catching on fire and was it covered under insurance and this, that, and the other. And Fletcher actually came on the group and was like, on the Facebook group and was like, hey, fun fact about the sheds, even if there's a line item for that coverage, if it's not connected to the structure, a lot of them exclude that. If you have your stuff in a shed, it's like we said last week, why wouldn't you reach out to Fletcher, give him a call, shoot him a text, say, hey man, can you help me figure out if I'm covered on this or not? That's what he's doing. That's
might need a little rider attached to it.
Is that what they need?
Little rider-ooski.
You want to teach him about insurance?
I could.
Could you?
Actually, somebody commented and said, so if I created a covered walkway between my dwelling and my shed, would that fix it? And he said, yep.
Wow.
So the more you know.
Give Fletcher a call or a text, 904-315-5812, or you can send him an email, fhallett, F-H-A-L-L-E-T-T, at hallettends.com.
I'm sick.
Do it.
I don't know if I can do it. I'm do so it. Sick. Double L's
I'll
and
do it.
Go. Do it.
Oh, God. Dang it. I almost got out of that one. All right.
Come on, Nate. You got this.
Me, me, me. Double the L's and double the T's. Hallett for all your insurance needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome.
I think Nate should sing it all the time. So
we'll,
good.
We'll put that to a vote for Fletcher.
Great
like,
job, buddy.
Like, we'll see what he wants to do moving forward if he's ready to just move to Nate full time.
Okay.
You ever see the Parks and Rec episode where there's 99 meetings in one day because April picks? I think she picks
March 31st.
That's what it is.
She picks March 31st because she didn't think that day existed, and she didn't think that March had 31 days. And then March 31st rolled around, and he had like 100 meetings in one day. And so yes, I do know the episode.
That is, I think, what the state of Florida did. I don't think they realized that this past week was a real week. So they put all the meetings they could in that week. So we felt like, can I just throw this out there real quick? Like, we've been pretty heavy, pretty serious. We're still having some fun, but we've been pretty heavy, pretty serious the last few weeks. Next week, we're going to take it back to our roots and go pretty fun for the most part. So if you're here for that, hang with us for another week and we'll have some fun. But I'm going to take you guys through a recap of those meetings, give you an update. I'm sure you saw some stuff online, but I felt like that was the fair thing to do. And then Nate and Emily can weigh in as they want to. First thing is there were two lake management plan meetings for Lake Okeechobee last week from FWC. One was in the town of Okeechobee and one was in West Palm Beach. So I went to the one in Okeechobee. I guess there were 40 people there. It was not a very rowdy crowd. That's the same building they had the spray meeting in last year during the spray pause. And during that meeting, like, it was standing room only. There were people piled on top of people. During this meeting, like, there were tons of seats. Well, you saw I posted online. There were tons of seats available.
Right.
So I thought the way they do these meetings is a little bit, I'm going to say it's a little bit strange. I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just a little bit different. What they do is they'll come in there and they'll present, like, aquatic plant coverage and stuff like that, like some knowns. And then they'll split four corners of the room up and let you go talk to biologists about particular things. So you can go over here and talk to this biologist about invasive plants. You go over here and talk to this biologist about fisheries. You go over here and talk to this biologist about snail kites. Like, they just kind of have everybody around the room.
Right.
So, which to me is, it's just a little strange, but it's actually a really good way to go be able to connect to those people. Because I'm going to throw this out there. I'm just going to go there and you guys can weigh in if you want to. This past weekend, there was a protesting the spraying by FWC on Lake Okeechobee. Did you see this on social media?
I did hear about this, yes.
Okay. So they met in Clewiston and they protested FWC spraying, and there were a whole bunch of people there, and they spoke on the dike, and none of those people were in those meetings. Like they don't show up to engage with the people that they're complaining about doing the work. And that's tough for me. That's
right.
Hard for me.
Right.
Particularly, and I'm jumping around a little bit, particularly as it ties to the North American conservation model, where it says science should be the proper tool for the discharge of wildlife management. Like, we should be leaning into the science right now, not saying let's throw the science out the window, which is what we're doing.
No, I agree. And the best way to make change, if you really feel like change should be made, is to show up to these meetings. Like, you can protest all you want, and that's great, and, you know, do what you want to. It's a free country. But in order to enact real change, if you really want real change to happen, you should show up at the meetings and not just stand on the dike with a sign in your hand.
I guess I don't understand what the outcome to that protest is. Like, do you want FWC to be overthrown so you don't work with them anymore? Because this is the agency
right.
that you should be working with to get positive changes and positive habitat. Like, man, it just doesn't make sense to me. So that was
I agree.
That was my recap of the Okeechobee meeting. I thought it was a good meeting. I got to discuss waterfowl. I got to discuss fisheries. I got to discuss plant management with biologists, because there just weren't a ton of people there. And there's another meeting, I think Wednesday night, the 26th in Clewiston. So I plan to be at that. So come see me if you're around. Then on, let's see, that was Tuesday. On Wednesday, I drove to Tallahassee to the commission meetings. That's a haul, man. Tallahassee's a long way.
It's a long way. That's a long way.
So, and Emily was in Austin all week. By the way, did you see my picture of snack foods on the kitchen counter?
I did. Yeah, you and Will ate it. You and Will lived like kings last week.
Yeah.
Ate like kings.
That was not an exaggeration, but I was telling Emily, like, I actually didn't eat that much because I was in the car so much. I ended up eating a bunch of drive-through fast food stuff that garbage that I shouldn't have been eating. So I shouldn't have been eating the stuff that was at home, but instead of eating the stuff at home, I shouldn't have been eating the stuff that I ate in the car. But I went to the commission meetings, and I took my North American Model of Conservation book with me and used it as a prop and said basically that, you know, I'm just getting tired of the sideways energy in the aquatic plant conversation. I want to talk about R3. I want to talk about duck hunting. I want to talk about fisheries management. I want to talk about a whole bunch of stuff that isn't spraying anymore. And it seems like there's a whole faction of people that won't let us move past that, and they won't pay attention to the science that's being used in that. And that's, I got to be very careful here. I'm not setting mechanical harvesting aside. I think mechanical harvesting is the bomb diggity. I also think there's some cost problems there. I think there's some efficiency problems there that I think instead of protesting, why don't you figure out how to solve those problems?
Right.
So, I was proud of the FWC meeting. I was proud of the comments I made. Do you have anything to add? That's all I have about the FWC meetings.
No, so I watched the sections where you spoke and mm-hmm. then the sections where the commissioner mentioned you by name.
Yeah, Commissioner Barreto did mention me by name.
Which was pretty cool because it was the next day, is the second day, I believe. Is that right?
That's right.
So he was referencing you from the day before, and he had a little notepad where he had kind of made notes about people that left an impression or like action items he wanted the commission and the team to take. So he called Travis out by name and was just said he was really impressed with how you spoke and the way you said what you said and wanted to follow up and kind of get in touch with you. It seemed like that was his intention, but like, I don't know, maybe I was just proud.
I did feel I was proud too, because it's hard to go into a meeting like that where 100 people will make public comments and to stick out to a commissioner.
Right.
That felt like a win.
Right, yeah.
Which was something we talked about afterwards, is like you get 3 minutes amongst a sea of people who are super kind of...
Riled up,
but also very like fixated on their view of a situation, which is so siloed. So to get up there and say something that is fresh and different and makes them consider you something to be followed up on, I think is really tough. So I think that's a hard needle to thread, and you did a great job.
Well, thank you. But I also felt like when we do that stuff, I feel like a team. Like it's the three of us, but it's also like our listeners and our people that are
right.
Like, we don't formulate our positions off just one side or the other. Like we really try to think hard and think critically, and the conversations we have behind the scenes and the conversation we have with you guys listening to this, help us get to kind of where we're at on that. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep.
The other thing that came out of the FWC commission meetings were they extended the closures on snook, redfish, and trout. You have any feelings on this, Nate? Like, did you see this?
Yeah, I saw it. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I saw some like comments on Facebook about like, oh, there's plenty of them and blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, can there be enough of them? That's my thing. Like, just because there are plenty in your area, does that mean that there are enough of them across the western half of the state? These people who are complaining about it closing again, like I'm not there yet.
Can I play devil's advocate for that for a second?
Absolutely. You sure can.
How does, cause I tended, when I left the meeting, I was in the exact same boat you were. I was like, so big deal. How does that fold into the idea of using science as the proper discharge? So if the data says there's enough of them, why shouldn't you open it?
I agree with that too. I mean, because I wasn't there, so I didn't hear the data. Like, I didn't hear what the biologist said about are there enough of them. I'm all for using science, but I'm also like, if we have, I'll just use easy numbers. If we have 1,000 redfish in this one area, and the threshold is 1,000,
right?
Like, that's the threshold to open them back up. why can't we get to 1500 and then open it up?
So I,
like, why does it have to be at the threshold to open it up?
I think the,
like, why can't we get past it?
I think what you're saying is what I feel too, after thinking about it. I just want to play devil's advocate because I know there's people out there.
Yeah,
saying
no,
that.
That's fine. Absolutely.
I think I'm the same way. We meet the numbers. What does it hurt to be cautious for a year? This is not a binary.
Right.
We're never going to fish for snook again. We're never going to fish for redfish again. This is a let's be cautious with that resource, which we're still using science, but we're also saying, I don't want to make a bad decision. So on the safety net of decisions, this seems like the safer of the two. And I get the pushback. I 100% do. And I can see that.
Oh
side
yeah.
Of
me
it.
Too. Yeah.
Cause I know people, they're very close to me. They're like, I can't go fishing again for a year. I'm like, well, is that the only reason you go fishing is to keep stuff? And,
right.
and I get it. I like to
right.
keep stuff. I like to eat fish too. So it's a hard thing. But I thought, I don't have a problem with it being closed another year. Let's put it that way. So cause
right.
we're going into the spawn right now. Did you have any questions, comments, concerns?
I was just thinking, it sounds like there should be like what it should be is the threshold plus 50% is when you can start keeping them again.
Well, they do that, and I'd have to go back and re-listen to the interview we did with Eric Weather, which I think was the first Conversations podcast we did. It was the first. It was the second one. Eric Orlando was the first one.
Second. Yeah, second.
So I'd have to go back and listen to that again to understand how they create the sample size to see that. Because if I remember right, there's a thing they use, the spawning potential ratio, and they will, like, they have a number. I'm going to say for trout, it needs to be over 25%. And don't hold me to that number, but it's something like that. And FWC actually extends that number. They'll say, oh, actually, we want it over 38%.
So they
factor that into their at 25%, it would be a solid recurring resource. The other meeting that I went to last week was the Fellsmere Marsh meeting with the St. John's Water Management District. And for those not in the know, those guys out of state, this is a marsh. The St. John's Water Management District is a very odd river because it flows north, which I always have to flip my thinking, because when you say upriver, you mean south, which is like the only place in the world you would say that besides like,
right.
But anyway, went over there and there was a lot of talk because they want to, there's this thing called the Fellsmere Joint Venture, and they're going to build a development on this marsh. And they entered into a memorandum of understanding with the water district, an MOU. And in that it said, if hunting is allowed, it would only be waterfowl hunting. And that's the only verbiage that's around this whole situation. And so there's a lot of concern that at some point they're going to remove hunting, since it says if hunting is allowed. And this was basically an opportunity for hunters, fishermen, stakeholders to show up and say, hey, we want to make very clear we want hunting to be allowed. And so I was very encouraged with that turnout. A lot of people showed up there and I thought I didn't speak at that. And that's rare for me to not make public comment. And the reason I didn't make public comment is I don't believe in redundancy. So, like, if someone says something, it's more effective to not waste everyone's time with my 3 minutes, but to go up afterwards
right.
and say, I agreed 100% with what that guy said. The points were made very eloquently. Dan Daniels made points. Joe Richter made points. Joe Richter Jr. made points. Like, it was really well done. So, I was proud of the sportsmen that showed up. I was proud of what they had to say. I was proud of what they offered. And we'll see where that goes. No guarantees or anything else there.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I just wanted to show up and be part of the team that was on the ground for that. So that was the week of 99 meetings, which was really not 99 meetings. It was 3 meetings, but they were spread out.
99 meetings of wildlife on the wall. 99 meetings of wildlife.
How many miles did you put on the car?
I put 1,200 miles on the car last week.
That's a lot of miles.
But we're going again this week. We'll be in Clewiston. So I'll be in Clewiston. I may see if Emily wants to come hang out in Clewiston. No
she
chance.
Doesn't.
She's going to go hang out in Clewiston.
She doesn't.
This should be the last week for bottom three, top three. So we're going to go into these. We got a couple more conservation topics in there. First one on the bottom three is an article, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes, which I've been crappy at the last couple of weeks, the show notes. Sorry, y'all. It's an article about culling deer herds in Michigan. Did you read this, Nate?
I read it. Yeah, and it was very pro hunting. It was a very pro hunting article. It was well done.
Can you set the stage?
But basically,
for whether
East Lansing, Michigan, which is where Michigan State University is.
Go Spartans!
For all the you that care, they are having a deer population problem on their city parks and state parks and things, and so the city government is contemplating hiring, quote unquote, sharpshooters to come in and call some of the deer population out of the city instead of, and it's going to cost, they said, close to $20,000.
Yeah.
Well, they said $6,000, and then they were like, well, it's actually probably going to cost close to $20,000 of taxpayer
money. Yeah, six was the estimate, and the city budgeted 20.
There we go.
Right. So yeah, thank you for the clarification. Yeah. But they want to do that instead of having some special opportunity hunts in those city parks for hunters to come in and pay money to the city, to the government, to kill those deer, which this is the kind of stuff that just drives me crazy. I mean,
how crazy is it drive you, Nate?
Like, it's just like,
don't make him cut.
This is just, it's just typical government, right? Throw money at a problem, be done with it. Just, it doesn't matter what it costs, throw money at it. And it'll go away. Well, yeah, it might go away for a little bit, but what happens next year?
Right.
And then what happens in 5 years? You have to throw the same money at it because you didn't really fix the problem. You just kind of brought the problem down a little bit. And then in 5 years, the deer population is going to be right back where it was. So
and
if you allow... Go
it's
ahead.
A fundamental misunderstanding of Pittman-Robertson conservation funding.
Yeah,
the whole,
right.
The opportunities, like, go.
Right. The whole reason those deer are there. The whole reason those deer are in that city and overpopulated is because of hunter money that has come in over the last, 100 years. So, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. And this is the kind of stuff, like, the whole... You know, I keep going back to this example, but it's a great example. California, when they banned mountain lion hunting, they took a resource that it was bringing in money and then started throwing money at it because the mountain lions got overpopulated and started going into L.A. and killing... like celebrities and stuff. So, you know, they come in and they're with sharpshooters and they kill mountain lions. Well, that costs a lot of money when they could just be, you know, having license sales and hunters come in and paying money to do it. It just drives it. I just don't get it. It's so backwards.
But
it's so backwards.
It doesn't bother you though, does it?
Travis, shut up.
I have anything to add to that?
No, I read the article and the world heard my eye roll and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
What sucks about it, I do like what you said about the government just throwing money at a problem. There's just like no creativity to problem solving in that because it so easily satisfies many people's needs to just let hunters pay to hunt.
Right. And you could do
pests, animals.
Off the top of my head, you could do some kind of course that the hunter had to take like they do at Avon Park when you go to hunt the bombing range. Like they had to go through a special safety course because it would be urbanized.
And it would be archery only, I'm sure.
You would do just, archery only. Like, it just seems like such an easy lift where you could, man, so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And then and my other thing is like, how are the anti-hunting community okay with this? But not okay with hunters coming. Like, it just doesn't, none of it makes any sense to me. None of it makes any sense.
Right.
Anyway, rant over. We can move on.
Second up on
Hang on. I'm not done. Because
she's not
that
done.
Really, like,
whoa.
That triggered me a little bit. But
she's triggered.
Because I agree with you. Because what it is it's these people that, for example, tie a shark to a rope and then drag it behind their boat. Those are the people that get media attention. It's not the good ethical hunters who respect the hunt and respect the animal and respect the kill. And so people would much rather have a quote unquote sharpshooter and spend $20,000 to give a clean kill and avoid what they think a hunter is because of this bad media that we get. So if you're a dingus that is putting on social media dead animals in a disrespectful way or tying up a shark behind your boat or doing other general you can bleep that out. Stop, please, because you're costing us all a lot.
Speaking of media, second thing on the bottom three is the FWC, the coyote incident, and specifically the coyote incident outrage. Did you guys see read the article on this?
Yes.
Yes, I read the article.
Nate, do you want to set the stage for what happened?
Apparently, some firefighters found a coyote in Biscayne Bay and brought it back to shore. And then, I guess, took it to FWC or called an FWC officer, and they euthanized it.
So somehow it got euthanized between the time it left the boat and the time it got to a rescue center that was expecting it, right?
Right, right. We can debate, you know, that's not a great look. But also, I just don't think it's worth the attention it's gotten.
Yeah.
Like, it's a coyote out of, I don't know how many coyotes we have in the state of Florida. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're definitely not endangered or, you know, struggling in any way, shape, or form. It is not a dog. Do not compare it to a dog. They are in the canine family, but they're just not pet worthy. So I don't understand why the whole outrage of it all.
Do you think coyotes are entering into the charismatic megafauna in this conversation?
Yeah. No, I think they are. And I think it's because they're so adaptable and they live in urban areas. People see them sometimes. Mm. Same thing with like black bears, right? They're so adaptable. They live in urban areas. Yep. People see them in their backyards. And then they just like, oh, it's a cute coyote. But as soon as a little Fluffy runs out there, he gets his head chewed off
right
by the coyote. So, you know, I think they're bordering that.
Do you have thoughts on this before I weigh in?
Well, I think that for the commoners amongst us, you should probably take a second and explain what charismatic megafauna is.
That's the idea that big animals are cute and cuddly. Like,
right. Grizzly bears, black bears, mountain lions.
They're easier to anthropomorphize.
Right.
Which means to
give human qualities.
There you go.
So you think of a bear, you think of Smokey the Bear, you think of Winnie the Pooh, you think of those things. So you don't want to shoot bears because they're cute and cuddly. Whereas a squirrel, you think, oh, that's just a tree rat.
Yeah.
If a squirrel fell into Biscayne Bay, no one cares. Like at the end of the day, there are some people that care, but generally speaking, no one cares. What else? Do you have anything else to weigh in before?
Yeah. I mean, my first thoughts were, if a coyote has fallen into a body of water, they are, they're very deliberate hunters, predators. So to me, that kind of signals that maybe that coyote was sick to begin with.
Right. We
could have been. Yeah.
We don't know all the factors.
Yeah. Here. And just knowing what we know, and I would err on the side of, grace and say that they probably had a tough decision to make and did what was best for the animal.
Here's my take on this. Do you remember a couple years ago, it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago now, we were at Little Gasparilla Island sitting on the...
Yeah,
on
and the armadillos were
and there was
in
a
the
baby
ocean.
Armadillo yep. that was stuck on a sandbar with the tide coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And what did I do?
Went and rescued it.
With a net.
Yep.
And we put this stupid armadillo back onto an island where he's going to be a pest because I was watching him suffer and I just didn't have the heart to do that.
Right.
Okay. At the same time, in my backyard, if an armadillo wanders through and starts digging holes that are going to break one of my dog's legs when he's out running in the yard, guess what I'm going to do with the armadillo? I'm going to dispatch him in a quick and humane way.
Right.
I don't. This is my problem with this whole thing, and it goes back to the spray protest a little bit too. Why are we spending energy and making an agency that is already stretched thin spend energy on this subject? Do we think that tomorrow there's going to be an epidemic? Like are coyotes now like lemmings? They're going to just all go jump into Biscayne and we're going to have to deal with this over and over again? No,
right.
I think this is a pretty isolated incident. Let's say, okay, I'm sorry, and move on from it. And this is the ultimate mob cancel mentality, right? Like, let's fire whoever did it.
Cancel culture.
Right,
like,
right.
Why
right.
is that where we have to live? Why can't we just, if the guy made a mistake, and I'm not saying it was a guy, I'm not saying they made a mistake, I'm not saying any of that, but if they did, why can't we say, let's correct that and move on? Because we spent a lot of money training whoever made those decisions. Let's course correct and keep moving. This is what kind of drives me crazy, and I'm going to say something a little controversial here, with the enviros. Like, because they can get so wrapped around the axle about a single coyote or about a single turtle or a single whatever. And that's not to say you shouldn't care, but it is to say when you're watching Death by a Thousand Cuts, like, let's take the knife away. Let's not pick a
right.
cut and hang up on it. Like, let's worry about stuff that actually matters.
Right.
So
agree.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair?
I think we covered that well.
Okay. The last thing that was in the bottom three is the pineapple as a pizza topping. which I think we covered already. Like, the pineapple shouldn't be a pizza topping. That was a mistake by Emily. Top three. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. We're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
You can make
to each their own
sweeping statements.
Eat
like
your
that.
Pizza how you like to eat your pizza. This is a free country.
Also, the listeners will take care of him.
I'm going to protest. I'm forming a protest about pineapple as a pizza topping. And
you
I will. I would hope
it
all
is
of you
a
will
free
join
country.
Me.
You're going to what?
Form a protest.
Okay.
Around pineapple as a pizza topping.
Talk about death by a thousand cuts. Jesus.
Talk about outrage culture.
Cancel anyone that eats pineapple on their pizza. Top three, Public Land Tees. Nate, you know about this company?
Yeah. Yeah. Sam Soholt. He's the Public Land bus guy.
Okay.
He drives a literal school bus converted into a hunting machine around and hunts and then goes to shows and like spreads awareness for Public Lands. It's a good deal.
That's a great deal. The shirt that attracted me, I'd never heard of this thing until, and then you told me they did a duck stamp thing, right?
Yeah, so he did a pay it forward type duck stamp thing. Like, he basically charged people to buy more than one duck stamp.
Gotcha.
And so people would buy like 10 of them or 20 of them, and he would, you know, basically, and then he donated however many extra duck stamps people buy. I think he donated something. And I can't remember exactly where he donated it to. But, yeah, it was like a cool promotion during duck season.
I'm a big fan of their shirts. Like, they have some funky, cool shirts. We did the Conservation as a Convenience shirt, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But I'm a big fan of their shirts. But the one that attracted me was the Duck Hunt shirt, which was like Nintendo Duck Hunt.
Yeah, super cute.
And it says Public Land really cool. or something like that on it. Like, it's just, I love creative stuff like that. Super cool. So
I wish we'd have thought of that.
I know. It's like one of those, dang it. But, you know, that's also one of those, okay, good job, dude. You beat us to it.
Right.
Like, I admire the hustle on that. So check them out. I'll put a link to them in the show notes. Say, what is his name? Sam
Soholt.
Okay. Second thing that is in our top three, you have down M, Conservation Isn't Convenient shirt sales.
Yes. So, yeah. So we had our first run of limited edition t-shirts, and these are not available on our website. We only posted about them on social media and had kind of signups online where you could say, I want a shirt, here's the size, and here's my email address, and we shoot you an invoice. So all that's closed out. We had such an awesome response.
Awesome response.
This particular shirt says conservation isn't convenient, like kind of inside the shape of Florida. So it's really cool. So if that is something that you wish you had gotten in on, make sure you go to Facebook and find us at Cast and Blast FL, the group. With an ampersand, Cast Ampersand Blast.
Yes.
And you'll be the first to know about the next run of shirts. We're going to try to do that several times a year because, like Travis was just talking about, driving 1,200 miles last week. The proceeds from that go to fund the podcast here and all of that travel and representation he's doing on our behalf. So,
and our hosting, our mics, our...
Yeah,
yeah, like
the podcast.
Yeah. And trying to fix Nate's levels.
Hiring a sound engineer.
You know,
thank you guys for that. I forget the number, but it was well over 50 shirts we sold.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was super
good
exciting.
Response.
And in conjunction with that, we do a Patreon giveaway every month.
Yep.
We are coming up on the end of the month. So make sure you are a Patreon on March 1st and you'll be entered into the March giveaway.
We're here for you guys.
We're here to serve you. So I don't know what the giveaway will be for next month, but we'll be giving something away. Cool. Last thing that is on the top three is Paul Coffin.
Coffin. I think that's how it's pronounced. Have you heard of this guy?
Coffin.
Coutthen.
Was that the guy that Polito was sharing
yes.
a lot the other day? Yes. And I listened to some of his music and it's pretty fire.
Is it?
It's super fresh. Yeah. It's
Different. It's different. It's different.
It's like Johnny Cash meets Elvis meets the 70s.
Right.
What was that rap country guy? Was it Colt Ford? Yeah.
No, yeah. It's not rap.
No,
it's not.
Yeah,
no.
You're
wrong.
We should probably not talk much during this segment. But
I didn't dislike it. I just.
No, he's got like this real Johnny Cash sound, but then all of his music has a real funky, like there's always like a funky 70s guitar solo or like some weird like Jimi Hendrix almost sounding synth in the background of his songs, which I really like. It's just any kind of fresh music. This guy is a little bit of like a Billie Eilish country vibe, I would say. just bringing in something fresh and new and kind of remixing the sound.
It's definitely new. It's definitely different.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But he's got, but it's like comforting still because of the old kind of old gravelly bass singing voice that we know and love from previous guys. So anyway, I think he's really interesting if you want to give him a listen.
I watched the video of the one song and I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was funky cool.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, I like you one know called, me in music. I'm always confused.
You are. There's one song called Holy Ghost Fire that I really liked.
That one was good.
Yeah.
I did That's like the that video one. I watched.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know what
That's
happened.
That's weird. This was not planned, ladies and gentlemen.
Anything else? What else do we have? Anything?
No, I'm good. Other than stay woke.
Stay woke. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. We hope you enjoy the show as much as we enjoy making it. If you like what we're doing, there are lots of ways to support us, but this week we're asking you to share the show with someone you think would enjoy it too. Word of mouth is the best and most authentic marketing tool we have. So if you get the chance this week, how about sharing the show? 2 more weeks until the conversation series is back, and we can't wait for next Tuesday when we draft our ultimate fishing squads. Y'all have a great week.